minutes, 25 seconds. 20 seconds and counting. T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Tower cleared.
And as Apollo 11 does its roll program, this podcast now does its roll program. The tape is rolling. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. My name is Grant Cameron, and you're listening to the Paranormal UFO Consciousness Podcast. Thank you for taking time from your life to be here.
This is Act 1, Scene 1. Today, my guest is one in a series of guests that I've got in terms of music. The podcast you're going to hear now is about Connor Stevens, an 18-year-old man from Orange County, California, who has been writing songs for 2 years. He has just putting out his first album. My assistant, Nicole Sackage, and I talked to him because he's getting songs that come within a half an hour, and get songs in the middle of the night. And I'm very interested in the inspiration behind music, behind songs. So enjoy this conversation that Nicole and I have with Connor Stevens, a up and coming musician. And we actually play a couple of his songs. So enjoy. Okay, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world tonight. This is Grant Cameron, and I want to welcome you back to another episode. We have a unique guest today. My guest is Connor Stevens from Orange County, California. And I said I would link him up with Jimmy Church down in that area there, because Jimmy's into music. We got him, he's a musician today, and he was sent to me by his mother, Carmen, who apparently watches all my YouTube stuff. And Connor is 18 years old, and he's putting out an album. The album is called Welcome to Life. It's his first album. He's been doing songs, apparently, since he was 16 years old. He's done 100 songs. And the lyrics that are in these songs are a little bit different than the ordinary lyrics you'll hear. And so I said, let's get him on here, because I'm very interested in the questions I want to ask are where the inspiration for music, because I've pointed out I wrote a book called Tuned In, The Paranormal World of Music. And Connor apparently has the book. And I was not interested in music, but I was very interested in I got a message from a famous experiencer by the name of Chris Bledsoe. And Chris told me that I should listen to music. It was a message from the guardians, was the beings that he was dealing with. And the message was that the message is in the music. And at that point, I told him, I said, well, I think you're kind of wasting your time, because I'm not into music. My whole family's musical. I'm not musical. I don't listen to music, all this kind of stuff. And so I got into the music thing because Neil Young was one of the people that he told me to listen to. And Neil Young grew up in my city, and I thought that synchronicity was too big to overlook. So I ended up writing the book. And so today we have Connor on. We're going to talk about his music. I'm going to play a couple of his songs, and we're going to provide the links to all his material. And if you see what he provided us, I mean, this guy has media down, every link to every media outlet, or, you know, a media, whatever they call it, that there is. And I'm joined today also by my assistant, Nicole Sackage. How you doing, Nicole?
Doing well, Grant. Glad to be here.
Yeah, super. And today is kind of a unique day. Today is Connor's first interview. And it was, I believe, March the 20th of last year that you did your first interview with me. Is that correct?
I think so.
There you go. So it's a year ago today. That's pretty synchronistic, don't you think?
I like it, you know, 320 last year, 2020 for me. So I couldn't forget that one. There triple 20s.
And yet you haven't released the interview yet. You're covering up. Is that true?
I've put it in the vault. I've taken cues from you. You have to keep some secrets in some hidden UFO vault.
Okay.
And stir up controversy. So that's what I'm doing.
There you go.
No, I'll release it sometime soon. No, I think it'll be good. And now that it's been long enough that, you know, I'm not afraid of looking like a dork or anything. So I'm over it.
Yeah, you've got your YouTube. Have you got a YouTube channel, Connor?
I do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
We're going to pull all the links in there for you, all that kind of stuff. So, because I helped Nicole sort of build up her YouTube channel, and she's sort of off and running now, and we do some interviews. This is, we've done a whole series on music. I don't know if you've seen Nicole's YouTube channel. We did a whole series on music. There's a connection between music and UFOs. What do you think, Nicole? Let me ask you first. What do you think the connection between UFOs and music is? Why are there so many musicians that are seem to be into UFOs and the paranormal?
You know, keeping on par with our series, ufology, art, and music, and now that we're starting to get into the music, the pattern I think that is emerging for me is obviously artists and creative people can tap into the field maybe more easily than other people can. They're more susceptible. But when it shakes down to the music side, this is where I think, you know, like you said, the message is in the music, follow the music. I think music is the best art form to cross generations and lead from generation to generation to generation. You know, I mean, I listen to the music my mom loved when she was younger. I think it's cool now. I still like modern pop music now, and hopefully 20 years from now, that music will still be carrying a message. And I think that's the gemstone, I think, along with all the other creativity and inspiration. But I think that's the gemstone. It can cross multiple decades and still be relevant.
Yeah, let's go to Connor. Give me your background. How did you get into music? And if you've seen the book, I always talk about the fact that, you know, most musicians, really good musicians, can't read or write music. So tell us how you got into the music field and what led you to do as many songs as you've done right now.
Well, honestly, I just started playing the guitar when I was 12. You know, my parents bought me a electric guitar and from Amazon. It was only like, I don't know, probably like $100.
Wow.
And then and so my mom got me lessons to this guy named Roly Ulug, and I've been doing that ever since. Ever since I was 12 till now. Now he's my producer and records all my music. And that's how I made this album, Welcome to Life. And so I started writing music when I was 16. It just, I don't know, it kind of just came to me. I just started writing and I don't know.
Now, can I jump in real quick and just ask a question? When you were 12 and you first started taking guitar lessons, did you find that it came easily to you and almost kind of naturally? And I think maybe your mom mentioned to us via email that you don't truly read music when you do, but you can almost pick up any instrument and play now. So if you, that could give you a venue to explain.
Well, no, I can't read music. I can barely read tabs, guitar tabs. And in the music theory, my knowledge for that is very limited.
Right.
And all my songs that I, all the chords I use is very basic chords.
Mm-hmm.
And, but somehow they all sound different. So, yeah, so.
And when you were, when you were 16 and started writing for yourself, was that, would the music come to you and you would write lyrics, or would, or the opposite, would you have some lyrics that were maybe inspiring and then you would set it to a tune?
It all just comes at the same time, really. I just play. Well, like I try to find like a chord progression that sounds somewhat unique, mm-hmm. because, you know, a lot of bands and artists use like a chord progression and it like sounds similar and very, it's not all that special, but, right. So yeah, I find a chord progression that sounds somewhat unique. And then I just start singing like random words.
Mm.
And then I eventually start to write.
What was the first song you did?
First song was back in August 2019. It's called Not Enough.
And what led to it? Like, how did that, can you tell me the experience of suddenly deciding you're going to do a song?
I just decided to do it. It's just, for that song, for that chord progression, I always like mess with that, those chords that I play in that song. And so again, it just came to me. I just wanted to write, and I wrote this song, and my mom was like, wow.
Wow. So tell me a little bit more about your producer. How does music done today? Because, you know, it's different than when I grew up, where, you know, you put out a record and you get promoted on radio and stuff like that. How does it work now, like with this album and your producer? How does anybody like make music, or how do you get sort of popular in the music field today? And why did he pick you?
He was my music teacher.
Okay.
And I asked him, because I found out he's a producer.
Oh, okay.
And I asked him, it's like, I have all these songs, can we like record? And then, but how it's recorded is by a computer. He uses this program called Cakewalk, and it's very complex, but yeah.
It's not a cakewalk? What?
No.
Too misleading. How long would you say it takes you to compose a song when it does come to you, from, you know, from the time it comes to you till you're happy with it and you've mixed it?
Well, writing the song, it takes, for like every song, it takes like 30 to an hour.
Yeah.
And
that's fast.
Yeah. And that's like the whole song. And then, but like through time, the song kind of changes because, you know, it progresses. Mm-hmm. And to like record the song in like a studio is like 4 to 5 hours. And that includes all the mixing and mastering.
Wow. So you're actually in a studio producing your record album. And why is there a certain date? What happens on the date when tell me when the album's coming out, and why a certain date, or what happens when that album is out?
So I announce a date on like my social media.
Okay.
And it's always on a Friday, because that's apparently how the industry works. New wow. Music Friday.
There you go.
And so for my album, I scheduled 3 singles and then the album. So 3 singles, so like 1 singular song. I released one last Friday and yesterday, actually, and then next Friday. So I do a lot of social media, a lot of posting on there to let people know, like, listen to it.
Wow. So that's what I noticed when I saw all the links that you had, that you seem to be quite an expert at setting all this stuff up and the social media stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to play one of your songs. Is that okay? Are you got another question, Nicole?
No, I'm good for right now. I'd love to play one.
Okay, so I'm going to play part of the one song about 2020. You can give me a sort of a background. But first I need to ask you, are you in school? It used to be in our day, if you were a musical guy, had a band and stuff, you were a chick magnet. Are you a chick magnet?
Oh, no.
Okay. No. I just need to know. That's usually that. In our day, that's the way it worked. It doesn't work anymore, I guess. Like, okay, hang on. Let me take over the screen here. And let me share screen, share sound. Tell me a little bit about the song. We're going to play this 2020 song, I think, first.
Yeah.
Okay, so give me a little bit of background on that while I go to the...
Well, I wrote it last year in June, like at the beginning of June. It was around the time where, you know, the Black Lives Matter and all the protests and riots went on. And so I saw people's reaction to that, and I was like, oh my goodness. So it kind of inspired me to write, to like, you know, stop fighting, basically.
Good for you. Good for you. Okay. Can you see my screen?
Yeah.
Okay. So that'll be good. So that this will be the first song, and your songs are the tempo and stuff are completely different in the two songs that I'm going to play, but here we go with the first, and we'll go through the first part of the song, and then we can get some comments on it. Hopefully this works here. We got the lyrics here. That, and we'll go to the next song in it. Let me get out of the share screen. So you said the writing was inspired that song.
Yeah, and then song just fell from the sky.
Wow.
Grant, you cut it off at my favorite part. There's a nice little guitar solo right there.
Wow. Well, maybe we can...
I did like that part. I'm like, yeah, oh, but yeah, tell us. And I think that's kind of perfect to like what I said, like this, upheaval of the protests of last spring and Black Lives Matter, you know, and for you to put it, how it inspired you into music and that message, you know, is going to carry on for generations. So,
yeah, definitely.
And you said it came, were you watching the protests, or did something happen in your town? Were you a part of it anyway, or was this your contribution?
It was just everywhere. Like, there's protests everywhere. And I saw all over social media, and I was just seeing like people's reaction to what they don't like. Kind of sad. And so I was just shocked at how everyone was acting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that song, again, only took a little while to put out or to compose?
Yeah, I wrote this song in like the middle of the night.
Well, that was my next question. Okay, go through that, and then I got a question for you. Tell me the what happened there.
I wrote the song in the middle of the night, but like, I don't know, it just sort of like came to me, fell from the sky.
Wow. Were you awake, or were you already awake, or had you fallen asleep and you woke up and it was in your head? Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you had any dream songs? A lot of people get the dream songs.
No, I don't. I never had those.
Wow. But it did come very quickly. And what is your generation? I mean, how do you see this, the world, like in the United States right now? Are you optimistic about what's going on? Because that's, I guess, the main thing that interested me about your stuff is that the lyrics and your songs are, like your mother pointed out, and I should point out your mother's name is Carmen, and that is where I had my first sighting. That's where it all started for me, in a town called Carmen, Manitoba,
yeah,
in Canada. So are you optimistic for the way the world is going, or do you think that we're in some trouble?
We're in trouble, I think, but there's hope always.
You're part of the hope, I think, in terms of putting the songs out. Because that was the idea that you is the way I put it, is when people are looking for a message, when you're 25 years old, you got all your ideas set already. It's between your time when you're 10 and 20, 25 years old that people are looking for a new message, or looking to be something in the world. And the people they look up to are the musicians. So I think you got an important role in terms of trying to change the conversation and put a proper message out there for your generation to follow.
Yeah, definitely. Songs mean a lot to me.
And so you let's talk a little bit about your lyrics. Are most of your lyrics about these kind of issues, social issues and stuff like that?
Yeah, I tend to write about other stuff. Well, I write about myself, I guess, too, but mostly about what's going on in the world, and especially in our country. And yeah, it's pretty much it.
Wow. Yeah, because I'm pretty impressed. So you're not old enough to have had ex-girlfriends or something where you have to write about breakups and stuff like that?
No.
In my day, it was the Beatles. That's where a lot of that stuff was. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's impressive lyrics. So let's maybe go to the second song. And this one, I think we're going to play right through here. And this is the song, which I've already forgotten the name. Okay. Share. Okay. So give me a little background on this here. If we get the screen. Come on. Okay, it's all for a reason. Give me a little bit of background on this song.
Well, I wrote this in my backyard.
Wow.
And that was about the only time I wrote a song in my backyard. And I always write, I don't write very happy songs most of the time. So I wanted to write like a happy song. So, and yeah, this better this place to write in my backyard.
Beautiful. And this, again, it only took a few minutes to do.
This probably took like 30 minutes.
Wow.
At the most.
Okay, yeah. Let's go through it here.
Thank you.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. There you go.
Oh, wait, I think they do cell phones now at concerts. Everybody holds up their cell phones instead of lighters. So
that'll be a hit. I like that one. That's pretty good.
And Grant, I was going to ask you, because you get all like tingly when you hear experiencer music, like you can spot it, you know, or sense it. Does it get y'all tingly like that?
Yeah, first time I heard it didn't. This time it did. I sort of caught it. And it does have that what you and I and experiencers always talk about all the time is this idea. I even did an interview on this one time. It's all for a reason we don't know. We actually did a, if you, I don't know if it's up yet, but we did a show with three people. One was a woman who had a near-death experience, who was thrown off a motorcycle face first into the concrete. Another one was a guy who did float tanks in LA, actually a friend of mine, Mark in LA, get these messages in a float tank. And the other one was a woman in Alberta, Canada, who's a sort of a hypnosis type person doing regressions and stuff like that, who was reading a book. And it was all this, that's exactly what it was all about, is everything's perfect. Everything's going along. It's all happening for a reason and we don't know. So I'm very impressed with the lyrics, and I think this guy's tapped into something here, and I'm really impressed, and I'll do whatever I can to sort of promote you. Cause I think the UFO community, the weird community will love the lyrics of the stuff that you're putting out there, which leads to the question. We talked a little bit before Nicole came in about your mother watches my channel. And I have a weird channel. I do get into the music inspiration and consciousness and all that kind of stuff. But let's go into the weird stuff, your experiences. You said a little bit before that you may have had some sort of experience when you were much younger, or that this is not totally unknown to you, what the kind of weird stuff we talk about.
A sighting.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was in the front of my house.
Okay.
And
how old were you?
It's probably like 9 or 10, maybe. And you know, I used to play baseball, and so I was playing by myself baseball, and I like to hit the ball and stuff. And I was playing, and I happened to look up in the sky, like straight ahead. And I don't know, it was weird. I saw this black spacecraft, whatever you want to call it, just sort of just fly away. I don't know where it went.
But this was during the day?
It was like
evening. Yeah. I'm picturing when I play outside, it was always the evening, you know.
And the shape, the shape to it was?
It was like, kind of like, what is that one spacecraft in Star Wars? The
Millennium Falcon? Yes. So you would say it was kind of curved. And maybe had a definite front to it. I think maybe sort of like an egg shape with a point. Is that what? Yeah. Or was it? Was there lights on the craft, or was it just a craft?
It's just a craft.
Yeah. Mm.
Wow. And your mother's had experiences?
No, she hasn't.
No. Okay. No. Do you think that may have had something to do with where you are now in terms, because a lot of experiences, if you look at the book, you'll see a lot of guys and girls have these sort of experiences, and suddenly they're into it. And because you seem to remember the exact point and the exact time when it happened. And that's usually the thing, is people know exactly what month it was, what time of the day it was, exactly what it looked like. And yet it really wasn't anything, but it's still stuck in the back of their mind.
Yeah. I just saw it. It was like, I don't know.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting.
Did you tell anybody that you saw it?
Told my mom.
Yeah. And how did she react?
she was making me draw these sketches of what it looked like.
Oh wow.
Oh wow. Nice. Yeah. Good mom. My yeah. mom was like, oh, my friend saw something weird once and then just carried on.
So yeah.
It's a mom reaction. That's yeah. great though. And did you keep the sketches by chance or did your mom?
I think my mom still has it.
Oh wow, that would be fun yeah. to see sometime. Maybe next time for part two when you're all rich and famous and a pop star around the world.
Yeah.
So what's the future hold for you? You're talking about your albums coming out and you're going to college coming up. Mm-hmm. What do you see? What do you like to do if it all sort of works out well?
Well, I like to have a band and just perform and make more albums. Wow. 'Cause I already have albums planned out more.
Wow. You got how many songs? You said 100 songs?
Yeah. Probably somewhere around there.
Wow. That's impressive.
Right. Yeah.
Anything you want to add here, Nicole?
No, just in that last song, I love the part where all the different instruments kind of crescendo along and it almost feels spiraling, you know, but I love that crescendo. I wanted to say that part. Yeah.
Thank you.
Do you play a lot like the solo guitar type stuff? Because it was pretty impressive in this one, and I cut the other one off, which I apologize for. But you usually do that in each song where you have sort of a solo for.
Yeah, I do. I did most of the solos except for that one. There's no way I can play like that. But
you shouldn't say that. You're not supposed to say that.
My producer actually did that solo. It was my idea, but I told him.
Well, no, I mean, that's wonderful though that you can collaborate within that inspiration though. I mean, that's what another beautiful thing about making music is that it brings people together in that way. You know, there's mm-hmm. not very many one man bands out there anymore, you know.
No.
Wow.
No.
Well, it's been an honor and a pleasure to talk to you, especially if you do become famous. This is where it all started for you. And I'll do what I can. I've got a number of people that do shows on music and are into music and stuff. And we'll do what we can to get you on the circuit and to add your, not only your good music, because even with this addition that you had, your producer play, it fit in exactly with what you were doing. It was impressive stuff. So whatever I can do and whatever Nicole can do, we will set it out for you and try to get you down the road and help you where you can. And I appreciate your coming on and actually being open to an interview and good luck with your album. And when I'm in LA, I'm usually in LA a couple times a year. Maybe we'll give you a call and we'll take you out for dinner and we'll see how it's going.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Okay. And I'll make sure my friend Jimmy Church down there in LA gets in touch with you.
You're calling out Jimmy Church.
Calling out Jimmy Church. And he listens to Jimmy Church too. He knows who Jimmy Church is. So Jimmy owes him one. So you do listen to podcasts like UFO type stuff from time to time?
Yeah.
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 Well, before you sneak off then, just an overview of the ufology situation. What do you think? Do you think disclosure is happening from the government or do you think it's going to come from experiencers in the community?
I think it's going to come from everyone.
Nice.
But I think.
And do you think the phenomenon is good or bad, evil, people eaters? What's your take on that?
I think there's good. It's also not so nice. And
kind of like us.
Yeah.
The bad guys like us.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Us humans.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Beautiful.
All right. Well, thank you, Grant. Thank you, Connor.
Thank you, Nicole. And wonderful. Thank you. And say thanks to your mother, and thank you for watching my channel, and thanks for reaching out. And once again, I wish you all the best, and I will do whatever I can to promote you, and good luck with your album.
Thank you.
All right, I'm clear.
That's this week's episode of the Paranormal UFO Consciousness Podcast. I'm your host, Grant Cameron, hoping that you will join me for upcoming episodes. Links to my YouTube interviews, books, and my Facebook sites are in the show notes. If you love the podcast or learn something valuable, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, or give a review on today's episode. If you would like a certain paranormal subject dealt with in the future, please let us know. Until next time, watch this space, and thank you so much for listening.